If you've ever flown in and out of the Northern Virginia corridor, you know the routine. You pull up the chart and the airspace looks like somebody spilled a bowl of alphabet soup over the Potomac River. The DC Special Flight Rules area forms a ring 30 miles out from Reagan National. Inside that, the flight restricted zone covers the most sensitive airspace in the country. Mode C required, transponder required. The pilot training course just to transit legally, and if you're flying IFR, you're threading arrival and departure corridors while talking to multiple approach controls and staying very aware of where every boundary sits. It is, in a word, complex, and for pilots in the region, Manassas Regional Airport has long been the answer. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on radio. Hangar, let's talk about what's coming. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, has authorized commercial air service at Manassas Regional Airport in Prince William County, Virginia. For pilots who don't operate in the DC area, that might sound like a local story. It isn't. This is a case study in what happens when commercial aviation pressure meets general aviation infrastructure, and it's a story playing out at airports all across the country. Manassas just happens to be one of the biggest examples we've seen in years. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Here's the picture on Manassas. The airport carries the identifier Hotel Echo Foxtrot. It sits about 30 miles southwest of Reagan National, just outside the boundary of the DC Special Flight Rules area. That location is not an accident. It's precisely because the airport sits just clear of the most restrictive airspace that it became the pressure relief valve for the entire greater Washington aviation market. Pilots who need a general aviation airport with real infrastructure, real instrument approaches, fuel, maintenance, and training capability, without the complexity and access restrictions of Reagan National or the sheer scale of Dulles International, have turned to Manassas for decades. It is, according to the Virginia Department of Aviation, the busiest general aviation facility in the state. Not a medium traffic field, not a busy training airport for a small city. The busiest in Virginia on a clear Saturday morning, the pattern is full. Cessna 170s and 172s doing touch-and-goes, instrument students flying the RNAV approaches for currency, business turboprops taxiing out for runs to Charlotte or Atlanta, an occasional warbird from one of the local collections turning heads on the ramp. It is a real airport with real volume, doing real general aviation work every single day. And now commercial air service is coming. What does FAA authorization for commercial service actually mean? The mechanism matters, and it's worth understanding. Commercial service designation under federal guidelines typically refers to scheduled passenger service, flights operated on published timetables by certificated air carriers, carrying fare-paying passengers. This is not a cargo operation tucked into a corner of the ramp. This is scheduled airline service. The kind that comes with gate assignments, passenger security screening, baggage handling, and all of the operational infrastructure that commercial aviation requires. The authorization creates the legal and regulatory framework for a carrier to begin service. The actual start of flights depends on an airline choosing to operate the route, negotiating access with the airport, and working through the operational setup. But the FAA's authorization is the gateway. Without it, none of the rest happens. With it, commercial service at Manassas moves from hypothetical to a matter of when, not if. Why would a carrier want Manassas? Think about it from the business side. Reagan National is slot controlled, meaning the number of flights that can operate there is capped by federal regulation. Dulles is large and efficient, but sits about 26 miles from downtown Washington, which is a real-world inconvenience for business travelers. An airport like Manassas, 30 miles from the capital in a different direction, serves a distinct market. Prince William County and the surrounding communities represent hundreds of thousands of people who currently drive to one of the major airports for air travel. A regional carrier offering connections from Manassas to a hub in Charlotte or Philadelphia or Cleveland could attract that market without competing directly for Reagan National's constrained capacity. From the airport economic side, commercial service brings federal money. Airports that qualify as commercial service airports gain access to airport improvement program funding at levels that GA primary airports simply cannot match. That money pays for runway rehabilitation, terminal improvements, instrument approach upgrades, and all of the capital infrastructure that an airport needs to stay competitive. For airport managers and county officials, commercial service is often the path to funding that keeps the facility viable for the long term. So there are real reasons this makes sense for the airport, for the region, and for commercial aviation interests. The question, and it is a serious one, is what it means for the pilots who have made Manassas what it is. Here's what you need to know about the practical impact on general aviation operations. Traffic flow changes first. Right now, Manassas Tower and Approach manage predominantly GA traffic. The sequencing, the communication norms, the rhythm of operations, it's built around general aviation. When a regional jet begins flying scheduled arrivals and departures, the dynamics shift. Not because ATC treats GA pilots unfairly, they don't, but because commercial operations carry schedule pressure, passenger responsibilities, and operational complexity that naturally affects how traffic gets sequenced during peak times. A Dash 8, or a regional jet inbound on an ILS, with 80 passengers aboard and a tight connection at the hub, is going to factor into the traffic picture in a way that a Piper Cherokee doing pattern work does not. That's not an insult to GA operations, it's just physics and logistics. More iron in the airspace means more complexity. Expect longer departure delays during busy periods. Expect more go-arounds called by ATC when sequencing gets tight. Expect the radio to be busier. Second, ground operations change. Commercial passenger service requires security screening infrastructure, which means some portion of the terminal and ramp area will transition to a more controlled environment. FBO access patterns that were casual may become more structured. If you based your aircraft at Hotel Echo Foxtrot, or if you regularly stop there for fuel on East Coast cross countries, pay attention to how the airport's physical layout evolves as commercial operations come online. Construction periods, temporary ramp closures, and procedure changes will show up in the Notice to Air Mission system, which we call NOTAMs. Check them more carefully than you might have before. Third, think about the instrument environment. The approaches into Manassas are already well used. The RNAV approaches, the ILS. These are real-world instrument procedures flown by real-world instrument pilots on a regular basis. As commercial traffic increases, those approaches will carry higher loads. The frequency spectrum gets busier. Vectoring patterns for sequencing get more complex. If you fly IFR into Hotel Echo Foxtrot regularly for currency, for practice approaches, for actual instrument flight, expect the experience to become more demanding over time. None of this means GA pilots are being pushed out, at least not yet and not necessarily ever. But the character of the airport will change. That's the honest assessment. The broader pattern here is one that AOPA has documented carefully over the past 15 years or so. When commercial service comes to a GA primary airport, there are a range of outcomes. In some cases, the commercial revenue funds infrastructure improvements that benefit everyone. Better approaches, rehabilitated runways, improved facilities, these things help GA operations too. In other cases, the commercial pressure gradually squeezes GA to the margins. Tie-down fees increase, ramp access decreases, the airport's culture shifts from pilot-focused to passenger-focused, and the training operations and small aircraft that define the field start finding other homes. Which direction Manassas goes will depend substantially on the people making decisions. Airport management, Prince William County leadership, the carriers themselves, and, critically, the GA community's engagement with those decisions. If you use Manassas, this is the moment to get involved. Airport advisory committees exist precisely so that pilots and airport users have a voice in how the airport evolves. Local EAA chapters and AOPA have mechanisms for monitoring exactly this kind of transition and advocating for GA interests. That advocacy only works when pilots show up literally and figuratively and make the case that general aviation is not an afterthought at a facility that GA pilots built into what it is. There's a bigger picture worth addressing here as well. The pressure on aviation infrastructure in the greater DC area is not going away. The region is one of the most economically productive in the country. It continues to grow. The demand for air travel, both commercial and general aviation, increases with that growth. Reagan National cannot expand meaningfully. Dulles has room but faces its own constraints. The region needs aviation capacity, and airports like Manassas represent a reservoir of that capacity. The question for general aviation is whether the GA community can make the case that preserving GA primary airports serves a genuine public interest. The argument exists: GA supports pilot training pipelines that feed commercial aviation. GA supports medical transport, flight instruction, business aviation, agricultural operations, aerial survey work. GA airports serve communities that commercial service cannot economically reach. These are real contributions with real economic and safety value, but making that argument requires pilots who are engaged with the policy environment, not just the flying environment. the airspace rules, the airport funding mechanisms, the land use decisions that determine what gets built, where these are decisions made by people in offices and pilots who don't participate in those conversations don't get to shape them. For the pilot planning to fly into Hotel Echo Foxtrot in the near term, practical preparation looks like this. Pull the current airport diagram and familiarize yourself with the layout, because it will change as commercial infrastructure comes in. Check the ATIS before every arrival, not just for weather, but for any active construction or operational advisories. Monitor NOTAMs diligently. Expect that ATC frequency loads will increase gradually, and plan your radio discipline accordingly. And if you do practice approaches there, consider building relationships with a couple of the surrounding fields. Culpeper Regional, Leesburg Executive, Stafford Regional. Being current on multiple airports in a region is good practice regardless, and having options means you're never locked into one field's operational situation. This story will continue to develop. Flying Magazine broke the news of the FAA authorization, and as commercial operators make decisions about service, the specifics will become clearer. AOPA will be tracking it. The FAA's public records will reflect it. Check those sources as the picture firms up. More from us at RadioHangar.com. I'm Tower, stay ahead of it.